I'm speaking today with Jack Christie, who's a candidate for City Council at Large, number 5. First question I like to ask candidate Jack is, why are you running for this office?
Well, I've always enjoyed public service, and I've done 20 years of it. Two of the jobs are elected jobs, and they were non-paying jobs, but I enjoyed it just the same. And looking back at those years of service, I truly enjoyed it and think that we did some good for the children of Texas. And so I've been raising kids for 12 years here, and I'm just excited about getting back into public service.
Now, you had spent time as a member of the State Board of Education. Tell me a little bit about your service with the SBOE and how you think that might help you be a better city council member.
Okay. That was an exciting time. Some say a tumultuous time in Texas because we were raising standards in the schools. There are 15 domains for education, really core curriculum for the 4 million children at the time in the Texas public schools. And we raised the standards and held the students and teachers accountable in the 90s. And that's started out with Governor Ann Richards and ended up with Governor George W. Bush. And I truly feel that the progress in the schools during the 90s propelled George W. Bush into the White House because nationwide the test scores for all races and creeds in the Texas public schools were raised, and their accomplishments were real. Even Ted Koppel on Nightline challenged the Texas scores, but they were real, and the final analysis was Texas and North Carolina were the two states that raised standards and held accountable, and test scores went up. And I have to give credit, not to just the State Board of Education, but to the business community that played a role in raising those standards, and to the teachers in the classrooms, because they were the ones that brought the children to a higher level of education in Texas. So I thought it was a great time. Sure, there were extremes tugging at the priorities, and some nights I just wondered whether it was worth it, but we held the ground in the middle and made good progress, and the kids are better off because of that.
Now, education has come up a couple times in the mayor's race, and Anise Parker and Peter Brown in particular have raised it as an issue. What role, if any, do you see Houston city government playing in public education in Houston, and what do you think can be done about it?
That's a very pertinent question, and I think the first one I can recall that put a priority on the public schools was Bob Lanier. He just told the schools and the superintendents within the city limits of Houston that anything you need, give the mayor's office a call. Sidewalks, security, safety for these children getting to and from school. And I admired that priority, because if you don't have an educated workforce, you don't have a strong economy. And in conjunction with the community college system, the public schools in Houston are paramount, or at least equal to our security and safety and then quality of life in Houston.
Okay. Now, you ran for this office in 2007, the same at-large number 5 council position, and there were at the time some questions raised in the newspapers about your residency in Houston. Can you speak to that a little bit, please?
Sure. I think it was only brought up by maybe a single individual that kept hammering on it, but I'd been in the city of Houston paying taxes and resident for 25 years. And I just happened to move into the villages for a period of time for my children's benefit, and I was 500 yards away from the city line. But my office paid for 20 years, paid city taxes and such. And so seeing the election coming up, I acquired a lease in the city of Houston to establish residency while I was trying to sell the house in the village. As you well know, big houses in the village are not moving. They did not move. But I had a legitimate place of residence within the city of Houston. And so I think it was some half-truths that were put out there. But that was a race with 8 candidates. And so that little bit of harassment, I think, by that one individual that probably hurt, because I was 5,000 votes shy of winning the race and didn't quite get it. But I think with just maybe 3 people in this race, I can win it.
And just for the record, your residency now is in the city of Houston.
Yes, sir. 82 Legend Lane, 2 doors down from where I lived 10 years earlier.
Okay. Let's talk a little bit about some issues this year. Obviously, crime is always an issue in city races. As you know, the Houston police budget is quite large, biggest single component of the city's budget. Everyone is talking about wanting to increase the number of police officers we have. I guess the question that I have for you is, first of all, what can or should City Council be doing to enable HPD to fight crime better? And if the goal is to increase the size of the police force, how do we pay for it?
Very pertinent question. Again, I think very similar to education. I'm probably in my 4 years as chairman of the state board, in 327 speeches, I always included the importance of the teacher in the classroom, that we should be paying those teachers properly for the importance of the work that they do. When you get to a city municipality, besides education, I really think a person's security and the on-the-beat policeman is your key first responder. And we better have a great world-class police department. If we are short of applicants, we have to look at are the salaries competent, like I always brought up with the school teachers. Were they appropriate for the importance of the job that they do? And then pairing that with the budget to make sure that we can afford proper salaries. But if we are classes short of police academies, the way we did it with teachers in different regions of Texas is we went out to the schools, the police high school for police academy. We went and marketed the importance of the teaching profession. Same way here. Think about what the U.S. Army did when they were short of their quotas for the active military out there. They went to an outside firm, a marketing firm, and you remember the commercials. Be all you can be. Proud few Marines. It was an unbelievable marketing campaign for the pride for the military that we had, and the applicants went up sharply, and we have sufficient numbers in the military today, and I think it's because of the marketing campaign that this is truly a great profession, and I think the city of Houston has a great police department, a great fire department, and they need encouragement, not being torn down all the time.
Now, talking about the budget, obviously, council recently passed its budget for this fiscal year, and it had cuts across the board as we're in kind of tough financial times right now. Going forward, assuming next year that revenues fall short of where we normally have them, how should council deal with that kind of fiscal reality in future budget years? So hopefully, not too many future budget years, but certainly next year.
Right. Well, I think this is an area that may not be pretty, but I enjoy finding waste in big bureaucracies. And probably for 25 years, I've pointed out the waste in the medical industry, the medical industrial complex, as Eisenhower would probably call it, that there's just money being spent that could be saved and put into areas like the importance of security and the importance of quality of life. And I'm going to try to get outside firms, maybe complimentary, maybe not for a cost factor, to do kind of like a grace commission on the city budget and find waste that we can put into other priority areas and not have to come up with more taxes or anything like that. And then I think the economy will be on the rebound here in the next couple of years, and that'll help. An interesting question that the firefighters asked me. They said, Jack, if we have tremendous budget shortfalls, and would you consider cutting the police and the firefighters and their salaries? And I says, absolutely not, unless it was a fiasco like the state of California, and they're billions of dollars short in their budget. So otherwise, I would put the folks that are in harm's way that work for the city of Houston, they'd be the last to be cut.
Okay. Council recently passed an ordinance that put some restrictions on signages on businesses. You own a small business as a chiropractor. What is your take on that ordinance that council passed?
I think it's good. I really do. You know, you can get a good example is Times Square. It used to be the gaudiest signage and you know, just questionable practices, and they just cleaned it up. And it's quality of life. You go to Times Square now, and it's a joy to go there. I'd like for the city of Houston to be the same way. When they come from that airport, or when they come from either airport and come in from out of town, that there's a lot more trees and greenery and not just bigger and bigger billboards or gorillas that are 100 feet tall. So I think it's a good measure that they did. And, you know, I hurt for a business person that has to cut back on their signage or such, but you know, we've got to look 20 years down the road for quality of life in this city and not just something like the old Times Square in New York.
Council has also recently passed an ordinance that updates Chapter 42 of the Developers Code that covers things like sidewalks and setbacks, and is aimed at transit corridors. What is your opinion of the revisions that council made to Chapter 42?
I don't know all the setback numbers and the entire essence of 42, but anything that doesn't devastate businesses and yet improves the attractiveness of this city, I would be for. So, but I'd also be for helping developers in their permitting process. I think it's just too bureaucratic to where, you know, developers are key to the city, a key to the economy, and the city should be helpful to them and not a hindrance in quality construction.
As you know, Metro has recently broken ground on two more of its light rail lines out on the north and southeast lines. There's still two more to come, universities and uptown. All this work is scheduled to be done 2012, maybe 2013. If you were elected to city council, you would be eligible to serve under current term limits laws through 2015. So look forward a couple of years after Metro completes the task in front of it of building light rail lines that were passed in the 03 referendum. What do you want to see them do next? What should Metro's mission be beyond that?
If it would be utilized, I'm sure that they'd start looking at the 290 corridor, the I-10 corridor, and such, but my priority in expanding Metro is, can it pay for itself or come close to paying for itself? Just like the toll roads, you know, it's just, that was a good investment, and they end up paying for themselves over time. But at the same time, I realize that any great city in this world, they have a good mass transit system, and I've been on the Moscow transit system, the Washington D.C., New York. And so those are some of the best in the world for efficiency, mass movement of individuals. And so at the other end, I know we need a good mass transit. And I think the general direction is taking it slowly, methodically, figuring it out. But I'd like financially that the numbers make a difference also, that we're not just wasting taxpayers' money.
You live out in the west end of town, and that's an area where flooding is often an issue. Give me your take on the city's current ability to deal with flooding and what should be done going forward to improve matters.
That's a big question. If I had the right answers to all that, I'd be president of the world. But we got to quit building in flood zones. They've done some measures to where they're going to surface water instead of groundwater, which helps in subsidence. West Side, we have to balance growth with the infrastructure. And I don't know the total hydraulics of the West Side, but I know there's some excellent studies being done, and I would just like to look at the facts and figures and see what we need to do, maybe a little more cautious development, because I'm right in a neighborhood where 200 homes were flooded that had never flooded before. Of course, it was 10 inches of rain, too, but I just felt really bad for the 200 families that were basically wiped out from 6 inches down in their house.
We're going to be electing a new mayor this fall. Give me your assessment of Mayor White's term in office, and how would you like the next mayor to be like him or not like him?
I think Mayor White's tenure has been very good, and he's a calm leader. I love to see public servants without much ego. He's done that. He's smart. And he shares credit. He just doesn't take credit for every sunrise and sunset. So I think his tenure has been excellent. The future mayor, there's some of those traits that would be excellent. You know, let's put your ego in your back pocket. Let's truly get to where the focus is on the resident of the city of Houston, and not on your next election or self-serving. And if you get somebody that's really a true public servant like that, I look forward to working with that type of mayor. But to encapsulate it, I think Mayor White's done a good job.
Do you have a preferred candidate for mayor in this fall's election?
No, sure don't. I think you got some good people there, and smart people. And I'll just let the voters decide on that, because they usually research. It's an important time period for the city of Houston. And that's one more thing that I would like to see a mayor do for this city in the next decade, is really put it on the map that this is a great place to come to. They're friendly people, friendly athletic events, and I just think that we have a chance not only to be an international city, but a beloved international city, that it's fun to come to, it's clean to walk around, and a lot of cultural events associated with it. So I think the city has a bright future. And I hope the leadership parlays that into being one of the great international cities.
Most of the candidates I've spoken to as I've done all these interviews are running for open seats. You're running for a seat that's held by an incumbent who's running for re-election. When people come to vote in this election, why should they choose a different direction and vote for you and not the incumbent or one of your opponents?
Well, I just think that 2 years ago, that if everything was even and fair, that I probably should have won it then. And I just think that I would have done a good job then, and I'll do an even better job now. But I just can do a better job.
Okay, Jack Christie, thank you very much for speaking to me today.
You bet, Charles.